Matthew chapter 20. This is a passage, it's been on my mind, just thinking how the Lord, what this must have looked like as it happened. Matthew chapter 20, or again, we're going to read this in three accounts of the Gospels. So, as you read the Gospels, it's three different sets of eyes that saw what was going on and was written in their mind and understanding. All three of them are inspired by God, and this is exactly what God wanted us to know. Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 29. "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him," him being Jesus, "and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. And they heard that Jesus passed by," or when they heard that Jesus passed by, "cried out saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.'" So you've got to place yourself. Jesus is walking, no doubt, with a multitude of people, a lot of people. These are two blind men sitting on the side of the road, and they hear, as they do every day, all day, feet walking past, steps going through, carts going through. So they don't have the eyes to see, but they notice something must have been different with this group of feet as they were walking through. "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. Can't you see the multitude say, "Shh, guys, be quiet"? Because no doubt they've seen these blind men many times. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. "And they came to Jerusalem, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples..." Okay, so we're now in Mark's account, we're given a little bit more information. "With his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I love the word "immediately." It was instant. It didn't take time. It didn't take medication. The Son of God immediately healed the blind man. And immediately my mind goes to salvation. When we pray and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from our sins, to live in our heart, it's an immediate healing. It doesn't take time and years. It's immediately we're saved. Isn't that great? Now go to where we're going to drop anchor, Luke 18. Luke 18. I'm going to back up a little bit than I have in the other two passages. We're going to start in verse 31, which picks up some more information. Then he took unto him the 12, Luke 18:31, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. I find this interesting to me as I'm reading this passage of Scripture. Jesus gets his disciples over to the side, and he wants to give them some information to try to help them what was going on, why he was going to Jerusalem, what was the reasoning, what was going to come in the future. What we see is Jesus' concern for the disciples, that they would try to understand his purpose of what he was doing. And we're going to see, as we've read, also his concern for the least of these, as you say. Someone that was blind, or as Mark said, a beggar. Back in Luke chapter 9, it told us how Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew his time was drawing nigh. The time was coming close when he was going to be put on the cross. Jesus knew that. He knew that his entire life. He knew it was going to happen. We see that back in Luke chapter 9. In verse 51, because it says, And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Mark chapter 10, verse 32, And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. They were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took up again the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen. Jesus was going to tell them, I'm going to say his mission, but I say that gingerly. His purpose. He was telling them of his purpose, why he was here, what he was going to be doing. And that's what we see here in verses 31 to 34. The people were going to mock him. Look at verse 32. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and he shall be mocked. They were going to spit in his face. They were going to make fun of him. They were going to cast down. They were going to try to prove that he wasn't who he says he was. You're not the Son of God. And so he's telling the disciples, he's trying to prepare them. He's showing his concern to the disciples of what was going to happen. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles. Meaning, he was going to be put into their custody, their jurisdiction. He was going to be condemned. He was going to be punished in their mind. He was going to be tortured. Jesus was going to be delivered unto them. He's going to be delivered by a betrayal. Remember that? He's going to be rejected. Isaiah told us that it was going to happen. He prophesied it in Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He knew it was going to happen, and it was prophesied. This is the fulfilling of the prophecy that the prophet Isaiah said back in the Old Testament. Despised, meaning he was going to be looked at as worthless, vile, wretched. The word mocked means to play with, to trifle with. And then spitefully, as it's used there, spitefully entreated, means to act shamefully towards someone. Listen, Jesus knew that back in, for us, chapter 9, he knew the disciples couldn't handle that information. They didn't know what was going on now, and he was trying to prepare them of what was going to happen. Jesus knew what was best. Even though he is coming to the end, even though he knew what was coming in front of him, even though he knew what he was doing, what his purpose was here, why he was here, what his purpose was, he still had great concern for others. And this is the message for tonight. In our busy, crazy world that we live in, I'm not talking about world political, any of that stuff. I'm talking about in my crazy world, things that I've got going on, my schedule, my responsibilities, my this, my that. In your world, even though we have a crazy, busy, full, distracted life, are you still concerned about others? Stop and think. Put yourself there in that street, the dusty street of the day. And the great big multitude that was following behind Jesus, people were talking and cheering or laughing. And then they walked past these two men that everyone else knew what was going on. These are blind men. These are beggars. They're nobodies. We see them here all the time. Every now and then I might throw them a little bit. Listen, it's no big deal. And then all of a sudden, they knew something was different. And you could almost see them sitting on the side of the road. And one says, "What is that sound? What's going on? Can someone tell me what's going on? Why is all the people? Do you hear all the people coming?" And when they said it's Jesus, they knew who Jesus was because they immediately said, "Have mercy on us, Lord." They knew who Jesus Christ was. Folks, let me tell you, there are people all around us. They know who God is. They may have heard it when they were young at a VBS or a parent or a grandparent. They know what sin is. They just need someone to show concern. I love this part. Look down at verse 35, "And it came to pass that as he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant." What is the sound? "And as they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, and he cried, saying," now you got to remember, he didn't say it as I read it or as you read it. "And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Can you almost see in his mind that this is my only opportunity to ever receive sight? This is it. The Son of God, I've heard about him. I've heard all that Jesus has been doing, the miracles, the people that he is helping. I've heard who Jesus is. This is my only shot. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get his attention. What have I got to lose? "Have mercy on me." "And they which went before rebuked him that he should not hold his peace," or that he should hold his peace. "But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. Can you imagine that moment when he heard the crowd? "Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, come here. Jesus wants you to come here." Can you imagine what must have been going through his mind at that moment? "When he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" As if Jesus didn't know. He knew. "And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people," listen to this, "when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Whenever God changes a life, it's God that gets the praise. You know what we are? We're the people that puts the thank you notes in their hand. We're the people that puts the thank you track. We're the people that tell someone, "Hey, I'm praying for you. Can I share with you what God did in my life?" We don't need any glory. All of the glory goes to God. But there's people all around us that if we don't have concern for them, if we don't have compassion for them, if we don't see the person at the grocery store, the person that we work with, the person that's sitting over on the side, if we don't see them as a possible brother or sister in Christ, if we don't see them as someone that's going to hell, then there's a problem within our hearts. If you were here Sunday morning for Sunday school, Jed Duarte said we should pray for what? 5 seconds of boldness. Because it usually takes 5 seconds to determine if I'm going to say something to someone or if I'm not. God, give me 5 seconds of boldness. Give me 5 seconds of boldness to my coworker tomorrow. Listen, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got so much going on in my life, in my world, in the world that I'm living in. I am so stressed. You don't understand. I dare say, because Jesus was 100% human, as He also was 100% God, Jesus could have been distracted, but He chose, because of His nature, to stop and see what that one needed. We're talking a lot this month about missions. There's an emphasis placed on missionaries and as well as our giving to help missionaries go. What I have desired to do, and the Lord knows my heart on this, I do not do this being unkind or beating people up, but on Wednesday nights, I want to hone in on my responsibility. I've been reading this passage for several days and just thinking it through in my own mind and trying to make excuses as to why, well, someone else can give them a track. Well, someone else can surely talk to them. I mean, after all, they just live down the road from so-and-so. But this is my responsibility. If I am to be Christ-like, then I need to see Christ's life and I need to remember He did this because He had compassion. So I ask each of us tonight, are you going to have compassion? Are you going to see what Jesus Christ did and then say, I don't want to keep it to myself? This blind man, he knew who Jesus was. He was respectful. He was reverent. He addressed Him as Lord. So no doubt He had heard it. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? We live in Greene County, Tennessee. Just about everyone in Greene County has heard something about God. After all, a lot of them say His name quite often in their vocabulary. Monday, I was doing something outside in the parking lot. I don't remember. I must have been taking something in my vehicle. And a neighbor came by and was telling me all kinds of things in his life. Pretty rough. And he said this, Pastor, what is going on now here at this church? There was a lot of people here on Sunday night. You can't hardly get anybody to go to church on Sunday night. What are you all doing? And it was at that moment I thought, 5 seconds of boldness. What are we doing at church? Can you have any more of an open opportunity to tell them about the Lord? 5 seconds. Now he says he's saved. But it was a great putting what we heard and the reminder on Sunday morning to the test on Monday. I'd love to say I pass that test all the time, but I don't. If I will look, there are all kinds of people who've been blinded by their sin, and they just need Christ. It's not my or your responsibility to save them. You're not going to save them. It's only our responsibility to tell them about Christ. There's been several, even tonight, that's asked for prayer for salvation for someone. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking the Lord for opportunities, because that shows your care and concern. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, you know what? I don't know that I've ever talked to someone about salvation. Well, how about asking the Lord to help you? Lord, give me the person, and then give me the 5 seconds of boldness to talk to them. Just to tell them what you did for me. This man, his life was forever changed. But not just his life, because it says, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You have no idea. We have no idea how God is going to use a conversation, a track, a prayer, a testimony. But we just leave it in His hands. Tonight, I ask you in closing, do you have compassion on the lost? Set all of our busyness aside in a moment to talk to one. Are you praying for God to work in your heart? I hope you are. Because there's blind people all around that's been blinded by sin. They just need to see Jesus Christ. May that be a focus right here in Greene County. Let's pray. As we close in prayer tonight, I want to take this time, as we have just a few minutes, for us to specifically pray for someone that God has laid on your heart. Would you ask God to help you? Would you ask God to work in their heart so they can see the need for salvation? And would you ask the Lord, God, what can I do? How can I tell someone about Christ? I'm scared. I don't know what they'll say. Lord, would you give me boldness and compassion? Just for a couple of minutes as the piano plays, let's pray for that one or two that needs Christ. Lord, thank you for this passage. Lord, I pray that I would see others in need. Step outside of my busyness. Remember why I'm here. To be the light. To share the light of the gospel with others. In Jesus' name, amen.